الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا طبيبنا وحبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العظام بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فزائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال أبا عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعلمتنا القرآن ووفقتنا في الدين وجعلت لنا أسماء وأبصارا وأفئدة فجعلنا من الشاكرين صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
The speech of our Imam on the eve of Ashura where he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the best of praise. And then he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the pain of, at the time of difficulties and at the time of joy. وَأَحْمَدُهُ عَلَى السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ And at the same time, Ya Allah, he thanks Allah. اللهم إني أحمدك. You know, اللهم إني أحمدك itself is pointing out where he is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance or help and assistance. In order that I thank you, Ahmaduka ala an akramtana, that you have honored us with Nabuwah, which we had a bit of discussion a couple of nights ago. And also, Alamtana al Quran, we talked a bit about Quran, and there were quite a few, you know, important hadiths which we, because of no time, we just kind of didn't mention them. Maybe I'll just mention those hadiths in order that we blessed by these riwayat, by these traditions. And it is really through the zikr of the Aba Abdullah and the words from the Masumeen really makes our heart enlightened and we are pulled towards that. This is Man qara'a al-Qur'an faka'annama udrijat al-nubuwah bayna jambay illa annahu la yuha ilayh. A person who recites the Qur'an, it is as if he has reached the daraja of Nabuwa. However, it is that the wahi is not descended upon his heart. So, it is through the recitation of the Qur'an, you know, that a person would reach to this high level. In another hadith, we find أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةِ قِرَآتُ الْقُرْآنِ Considered as the best of the ibadat is the recitation of the Qur'an. Or in another tradition, we find اِقْرَى وَوَرْقَى You know, the more a person recites on the Day of Judgment, the higher he goes. Tonight, I wanted to look at the aspect of وَجَعَلْتَ لَنَا أَسْمَاءً وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً These three qualities where the Imam is mentioning or thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah have provided them with these three qualities. And that is that you have given us the hearing, the asma'an, the ear that could hear. Wa absaran, you know, an eye that could see. Wa af'idatan, a heart that could comprehend and understand. And these three qualities is repeatedly mentioned in the Quran in different verses. And, the most famous of that is Summun Bukmun Umyun Fahum La Yarjoon, basically, which points out to that they are, you know, it's nothing but utter darkness for them. They have the ears, they don't hear. They have the eyes, they don't see. In another verse, which looks at the important aspect of these three qualities in Surah Araf, chapter number 7, which points out to وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعَنَا لِجَهَنَّمَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَلَقَدْ ذَرَانَا The dhara means created. There are two meanings of dhara. One is with waw and one is with ya. The one which is with waw, it points out to harj and marj, meaning that restlessness, chaos. But this cannot be that. So this is pointing out to creation. So, and it comes with laqad. You know, when it comes with laqad, it really emphasizes on a stronger and great, and it's certainty there. So it's walaqad dharana, means that I have created Jahannam for what? Kathiran, for kathir, for lot, among the jinn and ins. Lot of jinns and ins and human beings have been created in order that they go to hell. So is there jabr? Obviously, that's the first question that comes in our mind. If Jahannam have been created, Allah is saying that I have created the Jahannam for lot of jinns and ins, right? But what type of, let's look at the qualities and we'll answer that question as well. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ You know, they have heart, but they do not comprehend and understand. You know, they have a heart. بِهَا وَلَهُمْ عُيُونٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ You know, they have eyes, but they do not see. بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَذَلْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ Very famous verse. Where he says, they have heart, but they do not understand. They have ears, but they do not see. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They are like quadrupeds. They are like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَذَلْ No, they are worse than animals. And who are these? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ This is the translation of the verse. So, very beautiful verse pointing out to the aspect of the creation of the hell, which many have theologians or many have used this verse, those who are of the school of predestination, those who are Jabri, you know, like Fakhr Razi, for example. He uses this verse to prove his theological understanding that is Jabr. You know, man is predestined. You know, it is not in his hand. He's already predestined. So that's what the ayah is also saying. The zahir of the ayah is that I have created the hell for jinn and ins. Many of the jinn and ins will go there because I have created the hell. There are two ways to refute this argument, this understanding of jabr. On this verse. Number one is where, for example, the exegists have mentioned that if a carpenter, he goes to the marketplace in order that he wants to carve a door or he wants to carve a chair, you know, from that wood that he's buying. So when he goes there, he knows that because some of this wood will be sort of used for you know, heating purposes, that is left over or whatever purposes. And part of this wood would be used for the kursi or that quality wood that it will have, that will be used for kursi or for door. Some of the, you know, part of this wood which was not good, you know, that would be, you know, used for other purposes or for lower purposes as burning and for heat, for example, right? But the only difference here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created the insan and it is by his ikhtiyar that he chooses to go to the Jahannam. The question of Jahannam is there and the question of Jannah is there. You know, one cannot really refute or deny that. You know, there has to be Jahannam. If insan is there, the element of test is there, then there has to be Jahannam and Jannat. You know, and Behesht, right? You know, that has to be there. So now the point is that this wood, meaning that this creation, it is by his ikhtiyar he chooses to go and here and there. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that on that principle level, that the creation of hell is there, but many of them will go to hell. You know, it has been created for that purpose, that those who commit errors, those who commit sin, those who are not on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim, they're going to end up in hell. Many of them are there. وَأَكْسَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ لَا يَعْلِمُونَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Right? So this cannot be used. This verse cannot be used for establishing or proving the Jabri thought. You know, the thought of predestiny. Predestination that people believe. Now, in regards to the verse which is pointing out to what Hazrat Amir is saying, وَجَعَلْتَ لَنَا أَسْمَاءً, you know, you have provided us with that, with those ears which pay heed towards guidance. It's very important. And as a matter of fact, this hearing, which is a quality which is given by the Divine, and as a matter of fact, as insan, is nothing but his reflection. You know, as Allah is Sami, you know, he is also Sami, right? As Allah hears, insan also hears, right? And Allah is Sami in the way that all of that, you know, those prayers or that speech, that descends and elevates towards Allah, right? The verse says, you know, that amal, that action, that word which is good, that word will ascend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the word which will doesn't have that element of, you know, goodness in it. That will just remain here. And it goes towards the, you know, batil, or it goes towards that darkness. So on the same token, the hearing, you know, of an abd, of a person, must be of that, on that accord, from that angle, that he takes heed, he takes lesson, he hears things which are good, and through this he will be elevated. So here Imam is thanking, and as a matter of fact, in another of his sermon on the same, on the next day of Ashura, where Imam speaks to the enemies, and he says that, وَيْلَكُمْ, you know, wow unto you, you know, مَا عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُنْسِتُوا إِلَيَّ فَتَسْمَعُوا قَوْلِي, you know, I call towards you, I speak to you, you know, and then you do not, what's up with you that you do not hear me? إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوكُمْ, you know, I call you towards إِلَى سَبِيلِ الرَّشَاد, you know, towards rushd, towards guidance, towards elevation, you know, فَمَنْ أَتَانِي كَانَ مِنَ الْمُرْشِدِينَ, you know, those who do itaat, those who accept, فَمَنْ أَتَانِي كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, they will be مُرْشِدِينَ, they will be from those who are murshid, you know, they will be those who will listen, and they will, وَمَنْ أَسَانِي كَانَ مِنَ الْمُحْلِكِينَ, you know, those who will not listen, those who do usyan, those who will, you know, not be obedient towards that, كَانَ مِنَ الْمُحْلِكِينَ, they will be from those who are muhlik, they are doomed. You know, this is on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein is speaking to them and mentioning in this fashion. وَكُلُّهُمْ آسٍ لِأَمْرِ غَيْرِ مُسْتَمِعْ قَوْلِي, you know, all of them who do not listen, they are really asif. Why is that? He gives the reason. He himself is giving the reason. Why is that? فَقَدْ مُلِيَتْ بُتُونُكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ, because your bellies are filled with haram. So they have ears, but they are not listening to Imam. And the purpose the Imam is mentioning is because that your bellies are filled with haram. Now this effect of intake is affecting that really heart. It is that heart which is doesn't have that understanding. So it really becomes, you know, the source of hearing, the source of seeing, really becomes that very heart. And that's why perhaps Imam has mentioned that in the end. Where he says, وَجَعَلْنَا أَسْمَاءً وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً, you know, that heart, that understanding, you know, you have provided us. He's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So it is that heart which is the source of taking guidance. It is that heart which is the source of seeing, of that basirat. And in this verse as well, it's pointing out to that. It says that they have heart, you know. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا, you know, they have that heart, but they do not do tough, you know, understand. They don't have that understanding. I mean, our discussion is not exactly discussing what is heart, what is ruh, what is soul, you know, as the Quran tends to you know, use the same terminology for ruh as well, for soul as well, you know, as for heart as well. You know, on that day, that qalb, that heart which is saleem, you know, that is at ease and peace. You know, the heart, which is really that soul of an insan. It is that really spirit of that man. You know, if that is, you know, that only that heart which is salim is the one who have been obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, this verse is pointing out to that they have heart, but this heart is not capable of seeking any guidance. And Imam is thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he been provided with that. And the companions who are there, they are also thanking Allah through him by being there that they've been provided with this sort of guidance. And then if you look at the practical irfani or mystical interpretation or the unfolding of different realities for a spiritual wayfarer, you would find that sound have an ultimate amount of impact upon the soul. If there is iman in the heart, if there is belief in the heart, and then he begins his journey, the first thing that it will be given to him is that sense of hearing. Because hearing is the last sense that he will lose and the first sense that he will gain. When a person is about to sleep, it is that hearing that goes. You know, if you are dozing off, even fiqh as well. If you are dozing off, if you can hear, that is fine. Your wuzu is all right. Not a problem. You know, if other things doesn't happen to break the wuzu. So if you are hearing, you know, the sleep is one of the reasons that a person wuzu is broken, right? So, I mean, one really have to contemplate on these. These are the signs which are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same way, you would find that a person who is on the path of spiritual wayfaring, he will hear the sounds. That is just the beginning where Allah unfolds himself. And he would hear the chirping of the birds, the sounds of the ayat, you know, the ringing of the bell, you know, as the Prophet, you know, some tend to depict and describe that. It was like the sounds of the bell, you know. I mean, that's how the Orientalists have described, however, you know. So you would hear in the story of Hur alayhi salam that when he left towards Imam Hussein, you know, somebody he heard that somebody called him and gave him glad tidings that you are going towards guidance. He couldn't figure it out what it was, right? So it was that sound. So one really have to make sure that he has that sense of hearing. It was Aghai Pahlawani, who was the student of Allama Tabatabai and also, you know, contemporary to Aghai Tahriri and his ustad according to him as well. One of my colleague we studied together, he was a doctor, and he would say that, you know, Aghai Pahlawani complains of lack of sleep because continuously he hears the sounds of Jannah. You know, the ayat, the tasbihat, the verses which really kind of, you know, help him not to rest in a way, you know, in the worldly form. So that sound is something that is very important to really judge or to really discern and decide. And that comes. And we also tend to, on whatever level we are, we hear that, you know, that call. And even that's perhaps the reason why it is called a call. Although we don't hear, but we call that calling, right? You know, it has that tashbih. You know, it resembles to that. You know, it is that call. You know, there is a call towards that ruhaniyat, towards that spirituality. It's known as call. You know, there's a tasbih of words there. So therefore, hearing is very important. And that's what Abu Abdullah is pointing out to, that he's thankful of that has been provided to us. The other thing that he mentioned is that basirat. And basirat is that insight of affairs and things, not just the outward, you know, that one should have basirat in deen. You know, that's what we ask for. You know, وَجَعَلْ نُورَ فِي بَسَرِي وَبَسِيرَةَ فِي دِينِي. Provide me with that noor in my eyes, that light, and also that basirat in that deen. And Only a faqih, only one who is dedicated to the nabuwat, only one who is dedicated to the Qur'an is given that tawfiq to have that basirat in deen, in that knowledge. You know, it's all orderly, the way Imam have mentioned, you know, with Allah, nabuwat, Qur'an, you know, tafaqquh, you know, that research in deen, and then all those qualities that come about. You know, if those are in its place and perfect and good and on a higher level, then all of these three qualities will fall in its place. It will be, you know, in orderly. It will be perfect. So that basirat, which we tend to find in many of the traditions, and in this verse as well, which says that they have eyes, but they do not see. In one of the hadiths of the Imam, which says, Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, "Absaru nas man absara uyubahu wa aqla an dunubahu." You know, the individual, the best of the people who have basirat, you know, are those who look at one's own faults. You know, it begins there. As we are talking about that ma'rifat of the nafs, it really begins there. You know, one should look at one's own fault, and eventually that will, you know, and the sins that one have done, seeking forgiveness and all that, which is not in the hadith, however. And then that's where it begins. You know, all of these who have come there with Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the Imam, why do they have that basira? Because they have, you know, regarded, they have looked at themselves, they have that ma'rifat of the nafs, and they are there. So it begins here first, like as we are always pointing out to that. And then it expands and extends in deen, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so on and so forth, right? So therefore, the best of the basirat is really knowing one's limitation, how one is limited, so that perhaps he does not indulge or get involved in any sort of activity that is not or doesn't belong to him, for example. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So that's for the basirat. And then in another hadith it says that Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The best of basirat is the basirat which one looks at towards the khair. You know, one always discerns between haqq and batil. One always discerns between, you know, khair and shar. You know, and then that is the best of basirat. So the ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and one who wants to follow that, one should look at where lies our khair. Khair al-dunya or khair al-akhirah, right? Obviously. So that is basirat, that is insight that one should really have. And these basirat, these insights, this seeing, the visions have its own implications and asar and effects. Just to give examples which our scholars have reminded us is that looking at the reality of things. You know, how many hajis? But if imams points out, look, how many? Kal anam. Ulaika kalhum anam. You know, how many animals? Rather than hujjaj, rather than those who are hajis. That basirat, where that basirat comes from? How did he see that? It is from the imam. You know, imam is the one who provided that. No wonder the ashab are there with the imam, you know, in the plain of Karbala, because he is the provider of that basira. Or Abu Basir, who is blind, he sees the imam in that marketplace, rather than those people who are passing next to him, going next to him, you know, even rubbing their shoulder and their bodies with the imam. When Abu Basir questions and inquires, nobody is seeing the imam. But Abu Basir, who is blind, he is able to see the imam. That is basirat. So basirat is not really the eyes, because the hadith also points out to, which says that basirat doesn't mean that a person have the sense of seeing. A person who is blind, he could also have basirat. He could also have that insight. You know, that's what it is called basirat as. So it's that inner eye. It's that looking at the reality of things. And there is a whole valley of words and explanations and and treaties that one could really talk about. You know, what is basirat? What do you mean by looking at the reality of things? Looking at things the way they really are. You know, looking at things the way they really are, which itself is a, you know, have that irfani aspect as well, which we don't really have much of a time to, you know, engage in. Then, وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ, as the verse says, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Here, the verse have used the order the other way. You know, the sama, the listening part has come, and however, the heart part have come before. I mean, you tend to really see these happening in terms of in the law of the eloquency. You know, but there is some set of order there, you know, this way or the other way. You know, as we talked about, you know, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Allah or knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through science. It's both ways. It's a complete cycle, you know, whether that be an ascent or whether that be a descent. So therefore, the verse and the hadith also pointing out to that Imam Abdullah is thankful that they have been provided this, and they know that death is not the end. It is nothing but just a beginning. So that is what is making them that special and unique companions of the Imam. And they are in a full state of tranquility and peace while knowing that tomorrow they will be slaughtered. But not only that, here the last jumla, because we will continue, we'll open up that discussion and we'll continue tomorrow. And that is, فَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ, in regards to that shukr and shakirin. Because being that thankful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really a maqam, is really a state that awliya really acquires for that. You know, they really want to be from those who are the shakir, from those who are, you know, giving thanks. Now, when we look at the dictionaries, you know, lexicon, you know, and lexicographers have defined shukr as manifestation of the bounties that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what shukr means. You know, that sort of conventional definition of shukr is the manifestation of the ni'mat that is provided to you is considered as shukr. You know, you're not bakhi. You know, you're not hiding. You're really manifestating that. You know, that is the simple definition of shukr. That one is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's been given to him. You know, he's thanking that about his iman, about his wilayat, about his belief. You know, he's thankful of that. About his, you know, what he, in terms of his women and children, family, whatsoever. You know, he's not hiding it. Nevertheless, we tend to find those people who are the chosen ones, they are considered to be from the shakirin. Those people who are the righteous ones, those people who are the salihin, in the Quran, they are considered from the shakirin. You know, they are the one who are giving the utmost thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, we find the verses pointing out to that. You know, some of the awliya, they acquire and they do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they be from the people who are the shakirin. And the scholars of akhlaq have defined this thanksgiving onto three different levels. One is that very simple, basic level where a person, you know, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his loves. You know, where he does shukr, where he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been commended by our imams, by the Quran, that you have to thank. You know, thanks, shukri, lafzi, and there are different forms of it been also prescribed. The higher level of that is that shukri qalbi, that a person is in that state of shukr at all times. That even if a calamity falls, because if you remember the definition of shukr which we have given is that essential circle of praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shukr. You have that sana, you have that hamd, and you have that shukr, which is that essential aspect. So that shukr qalbi, that a person is always in the state of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his heart. He is in that state of tranquility and peace, whether that be a calamity, whether that be a joyous occasion. And this khutbah itself, where the Imam is Ahmaduka ala al-sarrai wa al-dharrai, is pointing out to that aspect that Imam is already in that state of shukr, however, he is still acquiring that. You know, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. But couple of lines above, Imam is saying, أَحْمَدُكَ عَلَى السَّرَّائِ وَالضَّرَّائِ. Whether that be in a state of joy or that be in a state of pain, I am thankful to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is really pointing out to that he is already on that lofty maqam of being a person who is shakir. Then you have that shukr amali, as they say, where through our action, a person thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When asked by the Imam, what does that mean? Imam says that the utilization of the ni'mat that have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the service of Allah, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to use, that is considered as the shukr amali. You know, it is through action. You know, Allah have given me the ears, the eyes, the brain, the heart, you know, my life. And if I utilize it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to utilize, that itself is shukr. Not necessarily I all the time say shukran lillah, but my presence here is itself pointing out to that I am a, you know, bande shakir, that I am really thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being here. You know, many of us are not here. For example, many of our friends are not here. Many of us that we know who are believers of born even in a very religious family, at the same time when it comes to iman, when it comes to deen, you know, they don't really, la yafqauna, you know, they have that heart but it's not open. But they are, so that means they are not here, right? Because of who they are and of their understanding. So as they are not here, they are not from those who are doing the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who are here, they are doing that shukr, but just shukr amali. You know, it's really through their action, you know, that they are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the haqiqat of shukr? What is the essential aspect of the shukr, the reality of shukr? Inshallah, we'll open up the discussion tomorrow, which perhaps would be the last discussion in regards to that. And that is also the last jumla or the last phenomena which Imam transfers or informs in this khutbah. The story of Karbala is really fascinating, where one tends to look at all these aspects which the Imam is mentioning in his khutbah, in his sermon, unfolding. You know, they are practical example of these things seen, which we said that utilization of that life, it's in the way of the Imam, in the way of the deen, is pointing out to that element or that aspect of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest warrior that came to fight, or that came not really to fight, to the battleground, who wasn't given the respite to fight, is Abul Fadl Abbas, who is known as the one who is resolver of our difficulties, is the key towards our desires, is the door towards our hajat, towards our needs. So it's that personality who was particularly designed or intended by his father to be present in the plain of Karbala by Amirul Mumineen. You know, when he marries Hazrat Ummul Baneen, prior to that he says that I want a child from the lion, from her, that who would be a great supporter of Karbala. So when Abul Fazl comes to the Imam and seeks permission, he says that you are the standard bearer. You will, you know, how come that you would like to go? Because standard bearers, they never fought. You know, they were the alamdar. They were the one who holds that flag, you know, which symbolizes the strength of the battalion, the strength of the warriors. So Imam says that you are the standard bearer. But Abul Fazl replied that, where is that army that I am the standard bearer? One after the other, all of them were gone. and none were left, and it was very difficult for Abul Fazl to really see the state of Abu Abdullah, that he has no supporter and helpers. And such a great warrior that the history have recorded, when he veiled himself and fought in Siffin, they thought it is Amirul Mu'mineen who is fighting. And finally, when he unveils himself, everybody realized that it was the son of Haydar. It was the son of Ali, the Abul Fazl. So Imam says that perhaps you go fetch some water for the women and children. And as there was no water for the 3 days in the tents. Here Abul Fazl goes to the tent in which they used to store water in order to grab the water skin. It has been reported that the little children were digging open the ground in order to find that coolness and were placing their bellies on the ground because of the heat that it existed. Finally, he takes that water skin, and another personality that really brings that courage, that strength in Abul Fazl is the daughter of Imam Hussein, Sakina, who was barely three, four years of age. And she, with all her friends, were saying that now that my uncle is going to fetch water, there will be water in the tents. Just wait for a few minutes. Here Abul Fazl, with that water skin, parts farewell to his brother, seeks permission and leaves towards the Furat, towards the Euphrates. And it seems that when a person is coming for a battle, for a war, he is usually stopped by one individual, by one person, because their intention is to fight. But rather now Abul Fazl is intending to fetch water, which changes the whole strategy of war. So it becomes that where one person is attacking, it becomes a whole army attacks. The whole army would try to stop this person to reach his destination. So it was, and the other strategy of this war is that Abul Fazl, as they say, that he never came to the ground with a sword, but rather he came to the ground because his purpose, his mission was to bring water. He came to the battleground with a spear rather than a sword. So spear is more have the element of, you know, protecting oneself. It's more where a person is not, you know, engaging himself in a war, but rather than protecting himself. It's a more of a defense rather than an offense. So as they say, Abul Fazl cut through the ranks and he reaches that Euphrates. And when he reaches there, he gets down from the steed, dips the water skin in the Furat, takes that little water and looks at it, and the poetry of Abul Fazl, which is always recited, that he looks at it and he says that, "O nafs, go fool some other person. This is Abbas, the son of Haydar, the son of Ali." And he throws that water, fills the water skin, and now he's heading back towards the tents of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And at the same time, you have to bear in mind that he's supporting that standard bearer. He's supporting that flag by his chest, that standard. He's supporting that. And women and children, they're eyes are gazed, or their eyes are focused on that alam. Their eyes are focused on that, you know, flag, because that is the spirit and that is the strength of them. So as they are continuously watching, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam is also watching towards the battlefield, they are seeing that how this alam is swinging left and right because he's been attacked from all sides. And as he has this alam, which is supported by his chest on the steed, and he is holding the water skin and he is moving forward, an enemy hid himself behind the tree and severed his right hand completely. It was completely disjointed, and he takes that water skin on his left hand. Because his life, his strength, his focus is this water skin, that it should reach the tents of Hussein, the children of Hussein. And as he takes this water skin in his left hand, the left hand was completely severed as well. And now still Abul Fazl is trying to move forward with this water skin by holding it in his mouth with his teeth. And finally, as they were continuously shooting arrow, an arrow was targeted at the water skin and it tears open. And this is where Abul Fazl says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." This is where he lost that hope. This is why he becomes that Babul Hawail, that he desired that the water reaches the children of Hussein, but it did not. And a voice echoed from the heaven by saying that, "O Abbas, you become the door of desires, you become the door of du'as." And that is why one of the biggest zikr that has been given to us is, "Ya kashif al karban wajhil Hussein, ikshif karbi bihaqqi aqiq al Hussein." You know, this statement, this dua becomes that key for unlocking our desires. And that voice echoed. And Abul Fazl, as he was still on the steed and he was attacked, and the rain of arrows which pierced through his body, and an arrow pierced through his eye and got stuck in his eye. And then imagine how he had fallen from that steed. Here, Allama Shustari mentions that Bibi Fatima comes in the dream and says that you recite the masaib of my son, but you do not recite the greatest of all masaib which Abul Fazl had. And says that I do recite the masaib of Hussein. Fatima says, "My son Abbas, not Hussein. Every soldier that falls from that steed, from that horse, had those hands to support him. But when my son falls from the horse, his hands were not there, he falls on his face. And when he falls on his face, he gives his salutations and salam to his master. My master, my salam, and my last final farewell, and my last salams to you." And here Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that, "O Abbas, your sound have broken my back." And while listening to this, he goes towards the battlefield, and when that dust settles, you see Abul Fazl Abbas's head in the lap of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And here there is exchange of dialogue and speeches amongst these two lovers. And here Abul Fazl says that, "I have certain will that I want you to fulfill. And that is, do not take my body in the tents, because I had promised my little children, I had promised your little children that I would fetch water, that I would bring water. Now I will be very embarrassed if my body is taken there." Because these shuhada, they had that senses, even their bodies, because when Imam Hussein, when he did that last call, "Hal min nasir yansuruni," the whole bodies in the shuhada started to tremble. And here Imam Abul Fazl says, "Not take my body." Here Imam Hussein says, "I have certain will that I would like you to fulfill before you leave, O my brother. He says, "All your life you have called me master. I want to hear the word of brother from your mouth." And here it's been mentioned that Abul Fazl Abbas, before leaving this dunya, he recited, or he said three times, "Ya Akhi, Ya Akhi, Ya Akhi." And while doing so, his soul departed, and the body of Abul Fazl Abbas in that state was near that Furat. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimeen, say'alamu al-ladhina zalimu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun. Allahumma wa nad'uk bismika al-azim al-azam al-ajal al-akram. Be Maulana Abul Fazl Abbas Babul Hawaij, Ya Allah, 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 Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qulubana ala Deenik, Ya Qadi al-Hajat, Ya Kafi al-Muhimmat, Innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Ya Allah, bihaq Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salam, accept our dhikr, our azadari of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bihaq Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salam, forgive all of our sins and the sins of our marhumeen. and raise their daraja in barzakh and hereafter and mahshur them with Ahl Bayt alayhim salam. Ya Allah, bihaqq Abu al-Fazl Abbas, protect the life, honor, dignity of all of the Shiayan of Amirul Mumineen, no matter where they live in this world. Ya Allah, bihaqq Abu al-Fazl, protect the azadari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam wherever it's been performed and accept the azadaris. Ya Allah, bihaqq Abu al-Fazl, protect the zawwar of Imam Hussein who are walking, who are going in on the day of Ashura, after that on the day of Arbaeen, and accept their ziyarat. Ya Allah, bihaqq Abu al-Fazl Abbas alayhi salam, give shifa-i kamil to Jumla Mumineen and Muminat, especially those who have requested us for prayers. Protect the Maraj-e-Izam, protect the lovers of Ahl Bayt. Rahmallahu man qara al-Fatiha li arwahi al-Mumineen wal-Muminat, especially the Marhumeen of the brothers and sisters who are present here with the loud salwat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.